when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for coming back. If you did, the ones that came back, the ones that had to go, hope you come back again soon. But we've transitioned to the second hour, as you probably know. We've got Sister Braveheart on, my sister. She's going to be on with the second hour. What we're going to do, I'm going to go real fast. We have a long, it's longer than probably should be playing, but I heard this audio video by a former Green Beret Army Captain Joseph Cordina. And he'll explain, he'll give a quick bio during this audio. It's the hottest, it's as hot as Blood River without suggesting reading between the lines. Like the lady just said, Briss Brandy said, taking care of things, read it between the lines. But we're going to play this audio. And then the rest of the time, me and Sister Braveheart are going to break this audio down, talk about it. And I've got a couple of quotes from our wonderful former president, has associated with Rabbi Schneerson. We talked about a little bit that on the first hour, but anyway, we're going if we have time, we're going to cover that in the second hour. I guess I'm stumbling. I'm trying to go too fast. I'm trying to work 70 minutes into 50. So if you will, Little Miss Teenage America, go ahead and roll that audio.
Let me tell you one story before we get into the one I'm going to tell you about, the child that was going to be buried in front of my eyes. Remember, I was in with the top people. My host was the ranking American military liaison from the United States, and he had been my roommate. We were both young lieutenants training troops at the USATC, and we were, you know, personal friends and so on. And he stayed in as a, you know, professional soldier. And what I'm going to tell you is sickening, but it's absolutely true. A group of snipers in Gaza murdered a little innocent, little helpless 4-year-old child, little baby, and sat there laughing like the Jews do. Like I say, these people, I can't stress it enough. Mm-hmm. What they had done, they shot this kid, murdered him in cold blood. They're sitting there laughing, these two grinning sons of the devil. And the parents of the child, you can imagine as a parent, do you have children?
I do.
Well, can you imagine how much you would do to protect your children, or even in this case, to retrieve the body of your child, at least? And they would lay in wait so that they could also murder the grieving parents. This isn't coming out of a bar. These were witnessed incidents, and they happen frequently there. But it gets much, much worse. Not satisfied with this horrific, monstrous conduct, demonic to the core, they sent in hungry dogs, you get the picture, feed on the bodies of these human children. And they know that the parents were watching, to lure the parents in, who were crazy with anxiety and just sorrow and everything else, so that they could lure the parents in, and they shot and murdered the parents. Think about that for a moment, Mr. Listening Person and Miss Listening Person, who has the slightest notion about good Jew, bad Jew. You better get it out of your mind, because I'm here to tell you there isn't any such thing.
Well,
shooting the parents as they tried to rescue the dead body of their beloved little child. And these aren't stories out of bars, my friends. This is the real thing. And you have to realize this is what's in store for Christians here in this country too. So you better start realizing that what you ought to do is, every time you see a Jew in the street, you ought to just kick his teeth in. One tries to move into your neighborhood, get all your neighbors to get together and tell them to get the hell out. You don't want that kind of trash in your neighborhood. I'm dead serious.
Well, that there may at some point it may come to that, but we don't want to advocate outright violence and for obvious reasons. But we
no, I'm not saying violence. I'm just saying tell them you're not wanted here.
Yeah.
Leave. And they'll get the message, believe me. First of all, the Jews are the biggest cowards in the world. I can say that with authenticity. As you may remember from a previous conversation, one of my experiences was I trained combat troops during the Berlin crisis in 1961-62, just before the Cuban crisis and right toward the end of Vietnam. And I trained a lot of young men. When I say a lot for one man, I personally knew the names, faces, and so on of over 1,000 young warriors. Now, in the big picture, that's not a lot, but that's just me. And I'll guarantee you there wasn't one of the self-chosen among these people. And I found out later where they were. They were at home bedding down your wives, your sweethearts, your fiancés, and your sisters, because that's what they do best. They all got political connections, and they got deferred. This is when we had we used to have a draft, and people didn't mind because they felt they, you know, should serve their country. You know, when you notice that the predominance of Jews in filth like homosexual organizations, organizations who murder little children, porn organizations, all the filth in the world, the communists, the Jews dominate. They may be 1.5% of the population, but they would have as much as 30-60% membership in these horrid, horrid organizations, but not in the military, at least not then. There were no Jews. Like I say, they were home right, doing what Jews do best. So, these yellow cowards who are good for nothing except shooting old men, hospitalized people, attacking hospitals, shooting people in the back. You remember when they got their clock cleaned, you know, a few years ago when they attacked Lebanon,
right,
and they just got their clock cleaned, and they were just going back with their tail between their legs because they were fighting real men. The Jew
right,
is not a real man. He's a coward by nature. He's vicious, he's seclusive, he shoots from the shadows. I thought the Israeli Jews would somehow be different from American Jews. Less materialistic, more noble, more honest, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Not the salt of the earth or anything, I didn't go that far. But I thought I would see a little different kind of people, and what I found out is that they were even worse. They were even more evil, if that's possible, than Jews here. And what, as you asked me, what prompted me, it was a graduation of series of experiences because of the nature of the people that I was with, the intelligence community, and got to go places where no tourist at all could ever get to go. Proving grounds in the Negev Desert. I watched the new Merkava 4 tank film maneuvers, met with top leading Israeli leaders, military leaders, etc., etc., inside Gaza and Hebron and all this other stuff.
Right.
And I started seeing things that, and remember, I'd already seen a lot of bad stuff. I didn't,
right,
you know, I didn't fall out of a tree yesterday. I'm not, and I was just almost in disbelief at the capacity for evil and cruelty that these Israelis had. I mean, they were purely, you know, when I first saw that thing in the Bible about you are the of your father the devil, I thought, well, Jesus said this, but maybe somehow he meant this as an analogy, you know, something like that. No. Then I understood he meant it exactly as he said it. These people have a demonic heritage. I really, really believe that because I've seen, I worked with other military, the Soviets. I did undercover work in Central America. I was with Czechs, Bulgarians, terrorists from El Salvador, Chinese terrorists, you name it. That's another whole story I won't take up your time with. But I had never seen anything with the abysmally evil cruelty, sadistic cruelty of the Jew. The Jew has no compassion, no morals, no conscience, no nothing, absolutely nothing. He can kill a five-year-old child and go out and have a beer 5 minutes later with his friend and brag about it, and literally does. I witnessed this kind of thing. These people are monsters. They're absolute monsters. They have no qualms about shooting newsmen or reporters. Like I said, these people have, let me repeat it, and if I have to repeat it 10 times on your show, permit me. They have no morals, they have no ethics, they have no souls. They are not like you and I. And I spent enough time with them here and there. I'm not 40 years old. I'm double that. I've been around the world. I've been here, I've been there, seen that, done that. I'm not easily fooled, and I don't make rash decisions or conclusive snap decisions about people. These creatures are true life monsters, but they're very good. They're very good at what they do. They hide everything. They all have this capacity for what I call a Janus complex. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the
and
Janus
unless
species,
see, right, but if you're on the inside, they like I said, like I was, you get to see them without their mascara. I think that's probably Mark Glenn's euphemism, which I coined, if he didn't mind.
Yep.
And you see the Jews without their mascara. And do you remember that sci-fi horror movie?
Thank you. Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. We're going to wind this video up as soon as we come back, but it's the best I've ever heard. And I will tell you where you got it from in just a minute, boy, as soon as we come back. So hang on your seats. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to LocalHoneyMan.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at LocalHoneyMan.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio, we're going to finish playing this. Sister Braveheart agrees. It's an absolutely brilliant video. This man, just briefly, he was pro-Israeli. He believed in the Holocaust. He believed in all that crap. He was older than I am. He was in the Army before I was. And he's not just a regular Army soldier. He was from the elite Army Green Beret. He was taken in with the highest, I don't know if you picked up on it, but he was attached to the highest ranking American attaché in Israel. Therefore, he got to go to all these proving grounds where no tourist, nobody gets to go without top clearance. He witnessed all this crap with his own eyes. So we're going to finish this audio, and then we're going to finish breaking down, but you've got to hear it. The guy's brilliant. Go ahead and roll it, Miss Lizzie.
Them or they or, you know, the guy had to wear the
yes,
sunglasses.
I do. Rompin' Roddy Piper and with the sunglasses could be used to spot these aliens that had
nobody believed them, and all
planet.
Of a sudden they were among everybody, but you couldn't see they looked kind of like everybody else. See, that's the way they live
yeah.
And but with these special glasses, my special glasses were my immunity from not being perceived as an outsider. So I saw them for what they really were. And,
right.
I mean, the nastiness, the cruelty, you earlier made an apology to a lady for something about the language. And frankly,
yes,
you should, if you were, of course, you shouldn't use language like that in your own of your own volition. But if you're paraphrasing to make a point, you need to do that because people don't understand. They're naive, and they think, oh, no, well, maybe these people just said that they didn't believe Christ was the Messiah. So, no, you're not getting the point. You don't get the point. This drunken, I won't repeat it on your show for a sense of decorum, but just put in what worst words you can think of. And this drunk Israeli comes up to a Christian landowner who's been there with his people for 1,500 years, and he's threatening the guy. He's armed. And he said, we crucified your blank blank Jesus, and we'll crucify him again. You know, you can take your blank blank Jesus and blank 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 blank. The most vile, vile language that you can possibly imagine from this filthy, nasty, maggot-infested Jew.
I've had an odium for Israelis. I've had a dislike that I cannot describe in good civilized company. It's grown worse. Every time I find out something else, it confirms the horrendous things, the barbaric conduct of the Israeli people. And when I got there, they had a party. And it was kind of interesting because there were intelligence people from all over, some Mossad people, some people from Aberdeen Proving Ground, people from Langley, Virginia, CIA, and so on and so forth. So it was quite an interesting party. People were very, very, reluctant to kind of chit-chat at the beginning because so many of the things that they, knew and so on were classified, and, they wanted to make sure everybody knew everybody. So it made it a rather interesting evening to get started with. And then the fun started. We went outside of Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is a very sanitized city. You have to understand, you don't see any of the horrors and the misery that I'm going to tell you about. And you don't see the true nature of the Israeli people. They say that city is totally, totally sanitized. I want everybody out there to listen very carefully. Listen to this very carefully. You will not see this on the evening news. You will not see this if you go to Tel Aviv. If you go to other small cities that are out of the tourist range, you will see the city full of graffiti. Things like saying, free Jonathan Pollard. Jonathan Pollard, our hero. Our Israeli hero, this and that and the other. Israeli patriot, free Jonathan Pollard. This is a man who betrayed our country, and he was a folk hero to the Israelis. He said, they kill these children over here just on a routine basis. Nobody gets into the occupied territories and gets out alive. What I saw there has only been seen by maybe one in a few million Americans. And the people here have no idea of the evil they're supporting. The barbaric treatment. These people are animals. They're absolute animals. They defecate on the Quran. They rape their women. They bulldoze their homes. They murder the people. These things are real. They're done every day. I've been there. And I'm telling you, if you've got a conscience, I'm just an American guy here that happens to have had some experiences. But if you've got a conscience, I don't care if you're a Christian or not, but especially if you're a Christian, you're sold your soul to the devil if you buy into this garbage. What you're doing is you're assisting this devil. This stuff they're doing over there is unconscionably evil. I've been around some places, even with the terrorists, the FMLN, the FSLN in El Salvador, but I've never seen the brutality that you will see with the IDF. These people, you will never see the cruelty, the barbarism that they inflict on women and children there. You don't see it. They have the money, they have the power, they have the guns, they control the media, they control what you see all over. This is one of the most brutal peoples you will ever see on the face of the earth. And I'll make that statement in front of God, because he already knows how evil they are. And I plead with anybody saying this tonight, if you're a Christian and you're bought into this, don't buy into it. Whoever's telling you this is working for the devil. These things are lies. They are not true. I'll stake my life and my reputation on it, just out of pure patriotic reason. I have a conscience. I want to be proud of my country again. And I cannot be proud of this country like I was 40 years ago when I was a young Green Beret para officer. I can't feel like that anymore, and I want to feel like that again. I'm a Republican. I'm a hard-line Republican, but I'm not a child murderer. I'm an honorable person. I'm a decent person. I'm pleading with you folks. Do something about it before we lose our country. You have to understand, we are paying for the misery and murder and torture and degradation and humiliation of hundreds of thousands of people who've never done any harm to us. Never done any harm to us. We have created an enemy. There was no enemy. We created the enemy. We are going to lose this country. We're going to end up on the ash heap of history. I don't care if I go to prison for being outspoken. I don't care anymore. It's my country. I love my country. I risked my life for my country. I have children and grandchildren, and I don't want to see them grow up in this kind of nation. It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
Dear people, that was American Green Beret, Captain Joseph Cordina. He was, like I said, his bio was, he was, when you're in the Army Green Beret, that's the highest of the high, the elite of the elite. You have to be the stellar of people, of people. You have to be the cream of the crop. But people, what he's telling you is the truth, and I think that's the greatest video I've ever heard. But assume before we go to Sister Braveheart, that's what I've been saying. We have all these so-called people in the so-called alt-right, which I don't think exists anymore. We have so many traitors in our movement. But I'm going to tell you what, this flat out like this. If you are white, especially if you're a white Christian, and you don't name the Jew, just like this American officer did, if you don't name the Jew, if you come out and don't name him, appoint him out as the son of the devil, his father, the devil, then you're my enemy. You're the enemy of Blood River Radio. You're the enemy of my parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents. You're the enemy of my children, my grandchildren, and I will deal with you as such because there is no in-between. You're either for us being white people, for Christians, people that follow Jesus Christ, or you're for them. There is no in-between. So stop trying to ride the fence because, I won't go any further than that. We have some other stuff we can get to it, but we may not have time to get to it because right now we're going over to Sister Braveheart. Sister Braveheart, what do you think about that audio?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. I would say that probably the most important message in that video, the audio there, was they, the Jews, are not like us. They are not like you and me. They are great pretenders. So, you know, they do their pretending. And so by deceit, they can, you know, make it look like they're just like us. And they hide among us. Many of them are crypto Jews, meaning they do not outwardly tell us they are Jews. Jewish people are probably the group of people that change their names more than any other group of people on earth. And why is that? They are hiding who they are. Some of them are not crypto Jews. They are out and out, just tell us they're Jews by either their name or they just tell us, you know, they're, but they do it all. They do all of that, but they are not like you and me. They have no compassion, no morals, no conscience, no soul, no ethics. Now, we tend to project onto the other that what we are, or the qualities that we have. It is incomprehensible for most of our people, for most of our good people, to believe that people can actually be evil, because they just assume that basically everybody's like this. And I mean, you know how often I have heard this from naysayers to my message, to your message. Say, oh, there's good and bad in every group of people. Well, this is different. Yeah, there's nasty people among us, but we have rules about being good, basically, and most of our people do have conscience. We call it psychopathic when somebody doesn't have any kind of a conscience. And so, yeah, there's a certain percentage of our people who are psychopaths too, but the Jewish people, they go by their holy book, the Talmud. That's kind of their guiding light, the Talmud, well, I should say their guiding darkness, and it is full of evil, and they are fundamentally not like us. This man nailed it. Sorry, I forgot his name, but no conscience, no compassion, no ethics, so they can laugh, you know, upon shooting the four-year-old child like he described. And I guess we'll come back after the break. Go ahead, Eddie.
That was a... I forgot his name. His name was former Captain Joe Cordina. And we'll be right back after this quick break. Folks, we got about a 4 or 5 minute break, so get you some coffee.
Rejoice, exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them. You know, feel better for a few hours only to have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again. It's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is Relief Factor makes that easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. How? Well, its unique formula of ingredients helps support your body's response to inflammation. Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free. And for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. So give it a try. Right now, their three-week quick start is just $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See how in a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. When you feel better, life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
Brazilian Supreme Court authorizing the restoration of social media platform X service throughout the country.
The restoration comes over a month after its nationwide shutdown. Elon Musk's X was blocked on August 30th in the highly online country of 213 million people. Brazil is one of X's biggest markets, with estimates of its user base ranging from 20 to 40 million. August's shutdown came after a month-long dispute with Musk over free speech, conservative accounts, and misinformation.
That is correspondent Jeremy House. Typical compensation package for chief executives who run companies in the S&P 500 jumping 13% last year. Median pay package rose to $16.3 million. And who leads the pack? Well, that's Hock Tan, CEO of Broadcom, $162 million. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. A problem for EV chargers.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is investigating complaints about some juice box residential electric vehicle chargers after reports of fires and other electrical malfunctions. The NHTSA said that the Office of Defects Investigation has received six complaints alleging failures of NL X-Way's Juice Box Level 2 residential EV charger. In one complaint, an individual claimed that charging their vehicle with a juice box led to an explosion in their garage that set fire to a home and rendered it a total loss. John Scott reporting.
OpenAI may face a costly and inconvenient reckoning with its nonprofit origins, even as the valuation recently exploded $157 billion. Nonprofit tax experts are closely watching the company. More on these stories at townhall.com.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the Har genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian Brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
I gave you power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, two quick notes before we go to Sister Braveheart. Miss Cornelia Mueller, the lady who's been on this program several years ago, she's now married, living on a farm in South Africa. She had confirmed she was supposed to be on this weekend or next weekend, but we have been unable to contact her. I hope and pray, keep her in your prayers. I hope that she's safe because there was a farm near her, one of her neighbor farms, was raided by the blacks, and there was murders. I don't know if they killed every single person in that farm family, but there was some murders there. And that just makes my skin crawl. So keep her in your prayers. Second note before we go to Sister Braveheart is our dear friend and much younger brother, Jacob Goodwin, called me the other day, and I was really thrilled to talk to him. He's released from prison now. He was the last one of the Charlottesville brothers that went to prison for the Battle of Charlottesville. He's the last one to be released, to my knowledge. I'll have to get that back with him. He wants to come on the program. He's going to come on as soon as he gets kind of clearance, because he does not want to get in trouble. Because you're probably not going to be surprised. This show is the hottest show. It's around, one of the hottest ones around. Like one of our listeners said, we're hotter than Fukushima. Well, that's so. Anyway, I just thought I'd pass those notes down. Now we're going to go over to my sister Braveheart. Go ahead, Braveheart.
Yeah, thanks, Eddie. I just want to make three points. One, to continue from what I was saying just before the break, that the Jews are not like you and me, but they are great pretenders. But combine that, it would be one thing if they're just not like us. Fine, just get out of our hair, stay away. But what they do, what they have done, is they exploit our goodness, right? So they take all our good qualities and turn those good qualities into weapons against us. So they take our empathy and, by way of deceit, make us be kind to those who are replacing us, right? Or
yes,
make us feel guilty because they, by their deceit, make us believe that we are responsible for every bad thing that's ever happened on the face of this earth, right? But by lies and deceit. And so the empathy and the trust, yeah, so they take our trust and they know that we're gullible. The other side of the coin of the trust is that we're gullible. We believe yes. things because we trust that, why would the figure, like all my life I trusted that basically the basic message coming from those who are like our teachers when we're in school or, the mass media in general, like what we just trusted, right? Then, of course, I woke up and I realized, no, they're doing nothing but lying. Okay, so the second point I want to make is when you use the word Jew, and because you addressed this, that, anybody who doesn't name the Jew is our enemy. I mean, why are we doing the program? We are trying to wake people up. And the guest exactly. in the first hour there, she was excellent too in, with her message. And really, we just have to wake people up to who is doing this to us, this war that we are in. We are in a war, and it was not a war of our choosing. We didn't start the war. We were born into it. So we better know that we are in a war for starters, and then we better know who the enemy is. I have found that when I, even when I'm talking to people who seem to get it. They seem to start to understand. And then I just pull out that word Jew. And some of these people, even though they are getting it, you know, they get it about the COVID, they get it that that was a bioweapon, that jab and all that stuff. And they're starting to wake up. And I say the word Jew and they run for the hills. This is our obstacle. But it's showing the success that the Jews have had in conditioning us Pavlovian style. This is the Pavlovian conditioning. So we do have to get over that. We have to find ways to bring that into people's consciousness, into their vocabulary. I'm working on it every day. And you know, if I had the answer, that would be just great. Anyway, the third thing I want to bring up is, I don't know if most people know about this. I only found out about it maybe a couple of years ago. But in 1666, there was a guy named Sabbatai Zevi. Guess which tribe he's from. Jeez. 1666, he declares himself to be the Messiah. And he was, this eccentric mystic who had attained a massive following of over 1 million devotees during his lifetime, and that was roughly half of the world's Jewish population in the 17th century. And his big thing was that you have redemption through sin. And so the more evil and more depraved the sin was, the more redeemed you would be in his books. So this wasn't just some guy on the fringe and nobody listened to. No, like I say, he had over 1 million followers, which was half the Jewish population at that time. And after his death in 1676, his philosophy would be continued and expanded on by his successor, Jacob Frank. So it became Frankism, a religious movement of the 18th and 19th centuries. And yeah, so this is what they did. I mean, and I would say this continues to this day, but I mean, the Jews, they're not like us. They don't have the same qualities that we do. It's a racial thing for sure. People say, oh, it's just a religion. No, it's not. It is a racial thing. And I guess that's what all I want to say right now. Over to you.
You made some great points there. And, One of the points that you brought up was these Jews, they run the media, they run the school system, they run all the propaganda. They're always preaching about we should, you know, how we should be guilty if we don't take care of these invaders. It's these thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of invaders. But people, let me tell you, where your guilt, where your compassion should lie is with your family. If you don't, you should feel guilty if you sacrifice your family for another tribe, for another race. For these tens of thousands, I think Sister Janice said that there was like a 20,000 of these Haitians brought into this small town in Ohio, a town of what, like 36,000? They're doing the same thing all over the United States, and I think I brought this up on the first hour. Even in Rand's little home state of Alabama, which is a small state population-wise, they're bringing, I was shocked at how many Haitians they're bringing in there. Just like the lady said, Brandy, on the first hour, camping out in lawns, roaming the streets, eating dogs and cats. It actually happens. We have eyewitnesses from, I've listened to some videos of the people in these small towns in Alabama, several small towns complaining about how these Haitians are going around. One lady talked about she was missing her cat. Well, she went and she saw her cat hanging from a wire out of a tree where a group of these Haitians were living or camping out. And that cat was amongst other cats and animals being slaughtered. They're just like Sister Monica said, not only are these Jews not like us, these Neanderthal blacks are totally unlike us. They cannot possibly fit into society. We can't possibly live with these humanoids. I don't even consider them human. You know,
you're
I really
right,
don't.
Eddie. They are not of our race, and one could actually say that it's like a subspecies, a different subspecies. You know, it's funny, our people, and these are the well-meaning, good people who are concerned about nature, and I am very concerned about nature, but what I find ironical is that a lot of the environmentalists, they care very, very much about every subspecies, make sure that you don't let anything go extinct of any of these, you know, let's say different varieties of birds, different varieties of butterflies, different varieties of all the animals. This is good. This is right. We should not be the cause of any of these creatures, God's creatures, to go extinct. However, these same people think that we should all mix and that's all fine and it's only skin deep, the color, you know, and it's absolutely false. And why is that word racist or racism so weaponized? It's on purpose so that we lose our racial consciousness. And I do hear the music.
Yes, and dear Blood River Radio family, at this hour is going way too fast. We'll be back in just a minute or two. Hang on to your seats, folks.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
In the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Dear Blood River Radio family, you know, this program, what we do, what Sister Monica does, what I do, other people like us, it takes a toll on you, man. And I'm not kidding you. I'm not trying to be dramatic. What you hear, a three-hour broadcast like this, it just sometimes, like for instance, getting prepared for the very first time the sailors come on for the USS Liberty. I spent 40 hours studying about the USS Liberty, and I did that just for 2 hours. But the point is, it wears you down. Sometimes I think about just letting this program go, going back. I could be making money hand over fist as an RN. You would not believe what they're paying RNs now. These visiting nurses. But anyway, I said, I never do it. But that's kind of an aside. But it makes me want to sometimes throw in the towel, because so many of the people, these Jew Christians that I consider these Judeo Christians, these Jew slash Christians, I consider them the worse enemy than the Jew, really, because they could not accomplish, they being the Jew, they could not accomplish anything that they have accomplished if the church had not abandoned. And Brandy made, and rightfully so, pointed out that the church, I can't think of a single church in the United States that has not been infiltrated at some point. That's why I no longer go to church. I have a relationship with God. But that, man, I'm going to get too far down a rabbit trail. But I want to talk about this tidbit I accidentally deleted a minute ago, but I'll go from memory. There's this kid, this is a guy named Matthew Brodsky. What do you know? He's one of those, one of the chosen ones. He was a former White House advisor under that good old Southern boy, Make America Great Again, Donald Trump. He was one of his advisors. After Trump got kicked out of office, you know, he got another high up job. I wish I knew which with this other Jew think tank was, but I'm going to, like I say, go from memory. But the point I'm trying to make, the big point is, he just recently called for the peacekeepers, the Irish, this country of Ireland. They have a battalion of infantry there, a battalion. They're to wearing the blue hats, what we call the blue helmets from the United Nations, keeping peace in this area. I believe it's Lebanon. Well, the Jews are raising hell, foaming at the mouth. They hate these Irishmen because as long as the Irish peacekeepers are there and they can observe what's going on, these stinking Jews cannot do to the people in Lebanon what we just heard Captain Cordina from U.S. Army Green Beret describe what they do to people who have no, can't protect themselves. So what this fellow said, Matthew Brodsky, the Jew, he says he's calling for the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, to carpet bomb the area where the Irish peacekeepers are. And then that's not good enough. He says, and after they carpet bomb the Irish peacekeepers, Sister Monica, he says they should come in with napalm and finish it off, just napalming the whole area there. Well, he's recently had to resign from this position because of that statement he made on X, you know. But I'm rest assured he'll pop up at another garbage dump somewhere run by the Jews, another cush job with another garbage dump. And while we're before we leave that, I'd like to also go back again to a point I made on the first hour about President Trump visiting this Rabbi Schneerson. If I could find that, I may not be able to find that that post. But here's what goes. I'm going from memory again. This Rabbi Schneerson, he's buried there in Queens in New York, in a real old cemetery. He's looked at as like the rabbi's rabbi, Sister Monica. He's head of this Chabad Lubavitch a branch of the Orthodox Jews.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's a Zabbatean, you know, what this so-called self-chosenite Messiah that I was just telling you about, you know. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what follows. But back to you. Go ahead.
You're very close. The people come all over the world to this gravesite because he is looked at as some type of Messiah, which just boggles my mind. If he's the Messiah, how can he be the Messiah if he's dead and he can't help any? But they go and they pray to him. President Trump's beautiful, drop-dead, good-looking daughter, President Trump gave her to this stinking Jew, Jared Kushner, and they're both in this. They're both follow this Chabad Lubavitch in the Kabbalah. They wear the little red things around their wrists, and they go and pray to him. And get this, Sister Monica, they, being Trump's daughter and her husband, the fellow I just named, Jared Kushner, they attribute Trump's first victory in his first presidential election 2016 because he went and prayed, this is out of their mouths, at this Rabbi Schneerson's gravesite and asked him to intervene in the election. And so President Trump has been back there. We just pointed that out in the first hour. He's gone back. He put his little Jew hat on, his little like that little beanie they wear, or they call it. I've got several of them. But I mean, the man's a straight up. He's as Jew as Jewish you could get without being a blood Jew. I don't know, but I don't know how in the hell anybody could put any confidence at all in Trump. And last point, before I go back to you, Sister Monica, if either one of these clowns gets elected, and it's going to be one of the two, I have really serious doubts about how long Blood River Radio can last, because they both said, in not so uncertain terms, that anti-Semites and Jew haters are going to be kaputs. They're going to be gone. They're going to get, Trump said he's going to get rid of anti-Semites and Jew haters. Well, that include, that's Ellis Blood River Radio. There would be one of the first people to get gone. So I don't know. We're going to go as long as we can go. But I'm, you know what? A month from now, Sister Monica, we may be taking off air. Who knows? But people, and if the Negress, whatever she is, gets elected, she's coming after us too, just for different reasons. But anyway, back to you, Sister Monica.
Yeah, I know we're almost out of time on this hour, but I just want to say, it appears that we are living in absolutely historic, epic times. And, you know, my brother used to say something that I didn't fully comprehend, but I think I have a better grasp on that now. And he used to say things like, you know, our ancestors would give anything to be here now, to be fighting in this epic struggle between good and evil with us, fighting with us. And a friend of mine said the other day, he also said something similar. He just worded it a little bit differently. He said souls. So in other words, those who have died already, but their souls. There are souls out there who would give anything to reincarnate at this time, even just for a few hours, to be able to say they were there. You know, we were there. Now, we have the opportunity to make a difference with our lives. Whatever it is you do, whatever it is we do, we all have different capabilities, different skills, different talents. But I would just encourage people to be the best that they are. Be their best, be your own best self in every which way, physically, emotionally, spiritually, every which way, because we are in an epic struggle between good and evil. And you want to make your life have meaning rather than an insignificant life where, you know, you just basically play in the sandbox, the proverbial sandbox. So that's my little message of, you know, hope and, you know, something that, you know, we are, the Jews want us to be without hope. They want us to think there's no hope, no future. They put out all kinds of movies to that effect to leave us feeling that. They put out all kinds of fear-mongering information that, you know, we're just going to be in fear all the time. That's not to say that we don't have our eyes wide open, Eddie, to what is going on. And, you know, your first guest talking about South Africa there, like, we better be looking, we better be paying attention, because communist takeover, you know, and look at what happened in Russia. Millions and millions of people were murdered, tortured, all this. Now they're doing this to us. And you talked about North Carolina a little bit. These are acts of war. Okay, but still, this doesn't mean you go around living without hope and without, you know, thinking there's no future. No, you make your life be significant by engage in this epic struggle and be the best that you can be. And I'll pass it over to you, Eddie.
I think that is a wonderful, wonderful talk. It makes me feel better too. You're absolutely right. Because you know what? We are alive. The souls that have gone on, that who knows, maybe they are aware, and like you said, wishing they would give anything if they could come in here and help us get in this struggle. Because someday we're all going to go perish. And I would like to repeat something that just as a start, what Michael Hill said, stop being arrested. Refuse to be arrested. When the thugs come to your door, make them pay. That's quite interesting. In fact, G. Gordon Liddy used to say the same thing. Well, thank you so much, Sister Braveheart, for coming on. I think it was a dynamite hour. I really do. And I'd like to look forward to seeing you. I'll send you this information to your email. And let me know as soon as you can when you can come back on the pro, if you can be back next week. We're going to have to record next week probably. Be right back, folks. We're hanging on. We're going to pick up the bitter ender.